Dr. Schiller, thank you so much for joining us. Listeners love when you join us for interview. As a matter of fact, people have started to ask me, when will our next interview be? So, Dr. Schiller, by popular demand, here we are.
Hello, Nick Ciccone.
Thank you so much again for this opportunity.
Okay, my pleasure.
The first question is about global investment. Dr. Schiller, there is a significant talk investing internationally. Is U.S. losing its attractions for investing? So here's the question. There is a significant talk investing internationally. Is U.S. losing its attractiveness for investing?
Is it losing? There has been a change. The question is, will it continue? The U.S. has had a strong technological, practical, applicable technology reputation going back to Thomas Edison in the 19th century. And I think that reputation is enduring. It's a little bit like Silicon Valley. You know, the people who are really interested in technology go there to live and find a job. So people came to the United States to find a job and found it congenial that they could be working in a technology industry. But, you know, it is changing. The rest of the world is getting more and more involved with advanced technology. So we now have both China and India sending trips to the moon with robotic vehicles.
But yes.
So I think that there is a culture which spans the globe, which has interest in artificial intelligence or more information technology more generally. People want to be everywhere in the world, many people who want to be part of the adventure that we're going through.
From actually, Doctor, a few years ago, I noticed in some of the funds that you manage, and particularly we are privileged to offer to the public, you do have a lot of blends of the international investments in there.
Yeah.
So this is also affecting your style of money management.
Yes, I think, well, it's not me. It's called diversification. That's a principle that has gradually grown in public acceptance. You don't want to just stay in the one country that looks like it's winning at the moment, because it does shift around over time, and there can be catastrophes. And so you want to be diversified.
Yeah, Doctor, some of these shifts were so quickly happening that it's mind-boggling. So you would suggest basically people not to overlook international investments as part of their portfolio, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good. So, Doctor, you're very popular with Case-Shiller Index and the real estate and everything goes with real estate. So, Doctor, how do you forecast the current trends in USA in reference to real estate market? What is your take on future of both residential and commercial sectors?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think I'd like to emphasize that real estate, especially residential real estate, is not an efficient market because it's too costly to trade in it or to gather information about individual houses to know whether they're priced right. So there's more momentum in the housing market. Momentum means it tends to go in the prices tend to go in the same direction, up or down, for years, whereas the stock market is more like a random walk. You can't, one day to the next, you just don't know what it's going to do. It's not a perfect random walk. It's somewhat forecastable, but the housing market is. So what's happened recently for the United States as a whole with the Case-Shiller indices, they've been going up steadily during COVID-19, and then they turned down briefly and lost a few percent. But then they started turning up again with our latest data. So it's hard to say what momentum says about home prices. So commercial real estate is more iffy. They're both affected by the work-at-home revolution and the changing preferences about where should my home be or where should my workplace be. And this is a big revolution that's happening right now, and it makes for uncertainty in pricing.
Doctor, the interest rate is so high, but the value of the homes keeps increasing. Is this going to continue as long as we have inflation, or do you see a stop to this trend of real estate prices just going to a roof?
It may continue up for a while. I say they have momentum, but I don't feel comfortable with predicting that they'll go up forever, because this could be just the upswing on a bubble. I've been thinking that the market, speculative markets, are driven by bubble-like thinking. By bubble, I mean that people are attracted, their interest is attracted to an investment, and so they start bidding up the price of it. But eventually, it's got to stop. And when they, and when it's not going up anymore, they want to bail out, and then it crashes. I'm not saying there will be a crash, but I think that there's a good chance that home prices will be lower in 5 years. But we'll see.
Just to let you know, Doctor, I'm not sure you dialing us from the New York or Boston. I think you're in New York, correct?
I'm in Boston at the moment.
Boston. Okay, very good. You know, most of my listeners in the radio program are real estate investors, and they're always curious about real estate and where it's ending. So thank you so much, at least giving us a little insight of how you feel about it. So you feel like, yeah, there is a little bit of, you know, bubble here, and it could burst in the near future, or it's hard to predict?
Well, it is somewhat hard to, it's easier to predict the housing market than the stock market. But on the other hand, we're on a period of fundamental change, as I said, from work at home, or more generally, the virtual reality. You can have an imaginary home. Second City was one example. It's a website that allowed you to get a home and meet people and have a second life.
True.
Or did I say, yeah, secondlife.com?
Thank you, Doctor. I always get this question, by the way. It's about currency. You know, with the ongoing challenges of the U.S. dollar, is dollar becoming weaker and cryptocurrency becoming more important, Doctor? What do you see?
Well, cryptocurrency, in my recent book, Narrative Economics, I emphasize in one of the early chapters that cryptocurrency, there's a theory that Satoshi Nakamoto, whoever that is, developed and put online. But the theory doesn't say that it will work. What really made cryptocurrencies gain value is public interest in it. It has an ideology, a view of the world that may change through time. As cryptocurrency prices rose after their invention, people thought that that was a validation of their ideas. But I suspect that it's more a bubble than a validation.
Another bubble. Is really cryptocurrency good for U.S. dollar, or why isn't Federal Reserve doing something about it if it's bad for the dollar?
Well, they're talking about a central bank digital currency.
Correct.
They'll do it themselves. But it won't be so ex-governmental. The thing is that the creators of Bitcoin didn't have to get approval of the SEC. They just did it. And the thought was that the SEC, or that's the Securities and Exchange Commission, can't stop us. We can do this around the world. It would be a world currency. It sounds inspiring. It had a great story behind it. That's why I put it in my book, Narrative Economics. The narrative of Satoshi Nakamoto, who is a pseudonym for who knows who. But it had a sort of anarchic attitude that we don't really need governments. We, the computer savvy, can do everything online. We don't need Washington, D.C. or London, England, or any of those. That's a story that has an appeal. I know it has an appeal. I see it in people's eyes when the discussion of some people are very enthusiastic, or have been. That's something that I think might not last. And we've seen decline in cryptocurrency prices in recent years.
It has been one of those events that it's really hard to understand how this was created, and it's really mind-boggling how fast the cryptocurrency has been growing. But that goes hand-to-hand with my next question. So we got the cryptocurrency coming. Now we got the artificial intelligence on the other side. So, Doctor, with artificial intelligence rising popularity, how do you view AI's impact on daily living and the economy in long run?
Well, I think it injects a major uncertainty in the long run. Where is this going? And I don't think anyone can dismiss it or, on the other side, proclaim it a miracle. We just don't know. What is human intelligence? How do we do it? That's not understood. They, ChatGPT DPT was an experiment. Oh, it's more than an experiment. It's going places. But is it really intelligent? There was a problem that the cryptocurrencies started to become racist, for example, and manufacturers have to go back to tinker with it so it doesn't get racist. But that's humans. You see, it's a question of how much, when they developed chess playing programs, they had to consult, it's my understanding, I wasn't there, but they had to consult with computer, with real chess experts. And it turns out that they've got an algorithm that plays chess well, but it's not the final word, and that it's actually very useful to develop a program that merely advises human players, because there's still an element of intelligence that they haven't captured.
I think artificial intelligence in the long run, it's going to be good for medical purposes and all of that. But they say, don't be surprised all of a sudden in New York, you go into a restaurant that AIs are cooking for you. I don't know. I think we're far away from that time.
they'll flip your hamburger for you.
I don't think they can teach economy at the Yale University like Dr. Robert Shiller does. I think that's not going to happen.
Maybe not.
Doctor, there's always this question that comes and goes, and we would love to hear from you. It's about the economy forecast. There is a narrative about recession due to inflation and housing problems, and of course, currency issues. Are we headed for a great depression or recession? What is your thoughts on overall where the economy future is?
First of all, it's not easy to predict recessions. Economists, they seem to start predicting it when it's coming on. We have the Conference Board index, leading economic index, that has forecasted recession, and it seems to be flashing recession recently. But it's not that accurate, and I argued in my recent book, Narrative Economics, that it's forecasting has to take more account of what people are thinking, what's driving, and what trigger points does that suggest in terms of stories. So right now, the economy appears prosperous, and that could change. I'm not saying it will change. Well, I'm sure there'll be some change, but how much is hard to predict. Right now, we're scared by global warming, or many people are scared by it. But it seems uncertain. A lot of people don't believe it. But there could be some event that changes our conception of, it could destroy stock market value.
Doctor, by the way, you mentioned your new book. Congratulations. I haven't received your autograph on that book yet, because in the previous one I have. So I look forward.
I'm happy to do that.
I look forward to that. And Doctor, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you in our program. I just want to let you know that you're very, very popular in Southern California, or overall just California, and maybe in the 50 states, because our show is broadcast in 50 states. And the program that is ongoing on a daily basis, on the live program, the radio that I've been doing, I mean, your name keeps coming up. I just want to, you know, thank for the opportunity, the help that you have given us, you know, by some of the amazing, you know, strategies that you have on your investments that we've been using in the past many, many years. And I just want to let you know that you have brought a lot of peace of mind and money management to my clients on behalf of thousands and thousands of investors. That they love to see you. I know it's hard for you to come down, but maybe at one point we'll be privileged to have you in Los Angeles.
Maybe 2027, every 5 years. Maybe I could do it sooner than that.
I was hoping it would be next year, right by the election.
All right.
But anyways, pleasure talking to you. Have a wonderful day, Doctor. Thank you so much again for this opportunity.
Okay, my pleasure.